May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. Our Old Testament reading contained the Ten Commandments. There was once a preacher who asked his whole congregation to stand. And he asked them each to sit down when they heard a commandment that they had broken. And so he went through them. And by the end of the ninth commandment, there was one man still standing, just one. So the preacher looked at him and said, "Alf, even you have to sit down during the tenth commandment, because the tenth commandment is all about what you're like on the inside, whereas the other nine are all about how you act in the world, and nobody manages not to break the 10th commandment." So Alf sat down. I do not intend to do this today. Otherwise, we might all be embarrassed. Not least me. Anyway, but he was right. The 10th commandment is all about coveting. It's about the covetousness of our inner heart. We can, if we are very well disciplined, self-disciplined, and we actually have a kindly life, life treats us well, we can manage, actually, with a great deal of effort, some people do manage to put on a good show out there. But it's a really different thing having a good show in there, inside. And that's where we fall down. And therefore, the Ten Commandments do show really quite clearly this connection between the health of our soul and the way we express that in actions in the world. Our gospel reading also shows this connection between the health of the soul and actions in the world, but from the opposite point of view. Jesus tended his soul very, very well. As you'll be aware, that during Lent so far, I have been preaching about tending the soul, tending the inside of us, talking about the light of Christ who lives within us, learning through prayer to connect with that, and making sure that we're right with God as far as we can be, relying on his grace. Jesus, of course, did that all the time, often taking himself apart in silence in the wilderness to spend time with his Father. But he also expressed that in action. He expressed it in action. And here we see one occasion in which he does this. This story of him overturning the tables of those money changers and those selling cattle, sheep, and doves in the temple. Social justice was at the heart of one of the things that Jesus did. What's going on here? Well, in the Old Testament law, it provides for people to come and bring their gifts to the temple for sacrifice. They bring animals of different kinds for sacrifice. And in the law, they were very aware of that instinct that we sometimes see in churches where people say, "I've got this vase. Oh, I don't like it anymore. There's a bit of a chip on it. I want to replace it. But it's all right. I know. I'll give it to the church." Okay? They did that kind of mentality happened in the temple too. It's like, "I've got this animal. I know I need to bring a sacrifice, right? But it's a bit lame and it's a bit scraggy. I know, I'll take it to the temple." And what the law was saying was, no, you must always give of your best to God. And as you give of the best that you have, it reminds you that everything that we have is a gift from God anyway. And we're just giving him back what was his anyway. And so into the law was put this command that any any gift, any presentation of that, it shouldn't have any defect. So no animal was meant to have a defect. However, the priests in the temple managed to take this and switch it round and pervert it, actually. And so one of the things they did was they had lots of animals in the temple that they had judged to be without defect. And you would come and bring your animal to the temple and they'd go, no. That animal's got a defect. That's not good enough. However, as it happens, we actually happen to have one here which is without defect. So we will buy yours off you and sell you this one. And of course, as you can imagine, what they had to pay for this one wasn't as much as what they got for this one. And so the temple made some money. The other way they did it, the reason there were money changers there, was that they invented temple currency. So you could only give your monetary gifts in the temple currency. And as you can imagine, again, the exchange rate wasn't that favorable to those who were coming to bring their gifts. And so in these ways, the moment where it should be that people were coming with joy and gratitude to give their gifts to God became exploitation. Jesus will have none of it, and his internal righteousness is spilled out in social justice. There are other ways, actually, in which he showed this action, this spilling out of what was within him, his healing of people, his kindness and love and mercy, his forgiveness, his standing with people. And there are all sorts of ways in which we can spill out what's within us outwardly. But we do need to do this. Jesus, of course, in terms of getting the balance between tending to the soul within and expressing that outwardly in the world in order to make a difference in action, he got that balance, as he always used to do, pretty much perfectly. All right, perfectly, not pretty much, perfectly. But we don't manage to do that so well. And in my experience of ministry, we tend to have a proclivity to one or the other. We tend to go, most of us, toward one or the other. There are those of us who tend to prefer to be contemplatives and give their time to prayer, withdrawal prayer. And there are others who are activists who tend to want to give their time, their faith into action. But of course, for all of us, the challenge of these two readings is we have to hold it all together. Our action needs to spill out from our healthy soul. But unless we have a healthy soul, the actions that spill out won't be that healthy. They may look healthy, but actually the deeds that we do, the effect that we have, will be tainted by covetousness, which might be hidden, but really, really there. And so to the activists might well want to say to the contemplatives, don't just sit there, do something. To which the contemplatives, who know it's really important to have a healthy soul to make any difference in the world, might well respond by saying, don't just do something, sit there. And which you hear all depends on the kind of person you are. For the challenge is for each of us, wherever we are, to make this connection between the healthy soul that we tend to in prayer, spilling out in action that makes a difference in the world. And so if you're an activist, that is the challenge to you today. Don't just do something, sit there. But if, like me, you tend to be more of a contemplative, the challenge to us is don't just sit there, do something. May you get this balance right in your quest in Lent for a healthy soul and a healthy life, one that makes a difference in the world. Amen.